Let's talk to Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com, covers college football as he joins us on the Truist Newsmaker line. Dennis, good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Morning, you guys. How are you?
Good, Dennis. We just mentioned the path of least resistance when it comes to the fall is obviously the NFL compared to college football in terms of getting everybody back on the field to try to create a new normal, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think college is going to follow some of the protocols that the NFL does, and obviously the NFL is a quote-unquote inspiration for colleges following behind. The week before last, Roger Goodell spoke to the commissioners, and I still don't know what the particulars are, but I've got to think that that was part of it.
Dennis Dodd is with us from CBSSports.com. In your article that I read yesterday, you talked to David Shaw, who has as fine a reputation as any college coach out there, and obviously he has questions that I would think a lot of coaches have right now as far as not only how the regular season is going to play, but could we see an expanded and adjusted college football playoff as well?
Yeah, I mean, my original thought in writing that was, okay, the commissioners have basically told everybody, we're willing to go forward without all the conferences and without all the teams within those conferences. Okay, so what's a legitimate playoff? Legitimate not only in terms of participating, but legitimate to ESPN, who's paying $475 million for this thing. And is there language somewhere in that contract that they're paying for all 130 teams? You know, in other words, hey, it'd be great if there were four SEC teams in there, but even is that legitimate when you've only got three conferences playing? So that was kind of the premise, and I hit on a hot button when I talked to David Shaw, who's also chairman of the Rules Committee, and as you said, highly respected. And he was the first source I talked to who brought up the word forfeit. In other words, if you have to stop in the middle of the season or a game is postponed because of a spike or an outbreak, what do you do? And I've heard that word now twice or three times, people saying, you know, just saying, you know, rhetorically, do we have to forfeit? You know, that has to be built into this new model coming back, I think.
But I think we all agree that the laundry list of things, the boxes that have to be checked, is so much more complicated when you're dealing in student athletes, students on campus. I mean, I know they're both football games that both want to start in the fall of 2020, but I don't see college football and the NFL being the same beast by any stretch in terms of making that happen.
Oh, no. I just spent 15 minutes on the phone with a trainer at a school who was laying out some of the things that they have to do in college that you wouldn't even think of in the pros. First of all, the pros can dictate their working conditions. They can take on the risk through their players' association. You can't make college players sign waivers. You know, hey, if you get it, we're not liable. You just can't do that. Then you're just throwing them out there as mercenaries. It's got to look right. It's got to be safe. If somebody doesn't want to play, you can't have reprisals against them. And look, and the players have to be honest. If they come in and are hiding symptoms, hey, I've got a fever, I've got the sniffles today, you know, they've got to be honest. It's almost like the military where you're playing for the larger good, not yourself. There used to be a problem, I think there is still a problem, with head trauma. When I was researching stories about that back in the day, where players would intentionally hide their symptoms so they could stay on the field. You can't do that now. You might infect the whole team. So there's all kinds of protocols here to follow.
Dennis Dodd is with us from CBSSports.com on the Truist Newsmaker line. And something else to consider as well, and we've talked about this, Dennis, could we see the day coming now much sooner than later that the Power Five totally breaks away?
Yeah, I think I'm actually doing that story this week. I think a lot of this exacerbates that. It was already a talking point before this came. But now you weave in name, image, and likeness, which, look, whatever happens by this time next year, a lot of these players are going to be professionalized. I don't know what other way to put it. They're going to be able to earn money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, if they're that much of a social influencer. And there's not a damn thing the NCAA can do about it, where their stance a year ago, was not a penny more. So we go from that to athletes, and I'm talking about all athletes. There's going to be some big-time Division III athletes that have social media accounts, I would predict. And so that I can't think of any other word than professionalized. And then you weave in the virus, And you know, you had Mark Emmert coming out last week and saying, we're not going to mandate a return to play. Oh, really? You've got absolutely no say in it. You can have medical guidelines. But guess who's going to decide? The governors, the health professionals, the presidents of the universities, and they'll manage it when they get on the field. The NCAA is not going to have any say in this at all. They can recommend, and they're going to vote, I think, tomorrow on rescinding the spring activities May 31st, but that's about it. The breakaway, the money's too much, guys. The money's too much not to do it.
Hey, Dennis, has anybody thought about, because we've joked about what the NCAA rulebook used to be. I believe it only needs to be 3 pages, but it's probably upwards of 500 right now. The rewriting of the, let's just say it's a breakaway and they don't call it the NCAA. We have our own little world over here, our universe. Who do you think is responsible for them putting together what would be a realistic quote-unquote rule book? You can't have the wild, wild, wild west.
Right.
But who's responsible to then say, these are the rules that we will now play under in our new world?
Well, I think with name, image, and likeness, the natural evolution is it would be smaller. You know, hey, you can get this type of inducement when you come to college. You know, they're going to have to figure out that. The other thing, the NCAA needs Congress's protection in the form of an antitrust exemption for them to push all these NIL improvements through. Well, again, then if Congress is controlling your sport or in charge of controlling part of your sport, you know, what are you doing? And if that's the case, even if that's the case going forward, if the Power Five breaks away, that just naturally makes the rule book smaller. You've got to have common sense solutions about what academic fraud is. Mm-hmm. We all know the folly that was the North Carolina thing. Eligibility, the transfer thing is going to be cleaned up by, I would say, next year. You're going to have the one-time transfer thing in place. So it's naturally going to be cleaned up. And that would be part of the reason they do break away. Look, throw that thing away. We're going to start over.
Logistically, there's been talk here and there. We all know that about playing in the spring. Is that really possible, Dennis?
Oh, it's possible. Yeah, I mean, that's why they've modeled it. I mean, it's a last resort, obviously, because there'd be no other time to play. You'd have to figure out how you're going to play 2 seasons in a calendar year with college athletes and all the implications that brings up. So, yeah, it's absolutely possible. It's not ideal. You'd have tremendous you'd have eligibility and scholarship issues. You know, what exactly year are these guys? If that happens, and I've said this already, Trevor Lawrence has taken his last college snap. Why would he even step on the field with a $35, $40 million contract waiting for him as the first overall pick, and then really hundreds of million dollars waiting in endorsements? And there'd be other players like that. So if that happens, you can expect a lot of guys just to go, I'm done, you know, because the draft is coming up. Why play?
I think the other thing that's going to come into play is donor. How big the check is going to be, how many checks can you actually get? Because we're talking about TV and some of the other stuff, but I think the donor factor is going to be a part. But I think the biggest thing, and for years we've discussed this, 130 teams all claiming, wink, wink, to be playing the same game when only 8, yeah, 9, 10, 12 have a chance to win a championship. I think that people in those schools that now realize, and maybe they've just turned a blind eye, maybe they didn't want to hear about it, when they hear how much they're spending on recruiting, we're spending to try to keep up with the Joneses. There's no level playing field, so why fight that fight? I think actually internally we're going to hear more schools say, that's not for us. We want to play for a championship, but we can't play for that one. Let's go break away. If the Big Five are going to break away and there's 48 schools, the rest of them should break away and play for their own championship and live in a neighborhood financially that they can afford.
That's been talked about. I even priced that a couple of years ago where I talked to some group of five officials and ADs, and one guy, the AD at Northern Illinois, Sean Frazier, who's a great guy, former Alabama player, had priced it somehow at like $160 million they could get for the group of five playoff. But you're right. I mean, the separation is already there, physically, financially, perception-wise, media-wise, in terms of attention. Those schools just don't play it. They play a different game. And you've seen the impact already with the MAC. The Mid-America Conference, where they've, you know, I think Akron got rid of 6 of their 11 majors and cut the athletic budget 20%. Another school sliced 3 sports and didn't honor the scholarships these kids had. Now, part of all this is a reaction to the virus. It was probably going to happen anyway, and this gave them a cover to do it. But look, a conference like the MAC, a conference like the Sun Belt, Conference USA, they're so subsidized by the school and the state, sometimes 50% of their athletic budget is student fees, that they can't afford to go through this. If they don't play football this year or this coming calendar year, they're going to cease to exist as athletic departments.
I'll assume that you've thought about this, so I don't think I'm really putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
But at some point, people are going to have to figure out if any of this change is going to happen. There has to be a wink-wink commissioner of the sport. There has to be somebody, at least, not in Mark Emmett's world for sure. Who do you think would actually make, give me one or two or three names that you think, if we were going to deal in common sense, if we were going to deal in the movement going forward, the financial movement, and everything else that comes with that, plus the perception of the sport, do you have anybody? Have you thought about who you think should actually be on at least that board, if not running it?
Oh, I've thought about it. A lot of people have thought about it. It'll just never happen as long as the sport is structured like it is. Look, these conferences can't even agree on how many conference games to play. How do you expect them to sit down and do a rule book or elect one person who's going to tell them what to do? That's how we've gotten to part of this problem. So it's not going to happen even if they break away. They're just going to have a commission that runs it. I've thought about it. You know, Jim Delaney's the retired Big Ten commissioner. I think he'd be well respected. You know who a guy who would really be good and they ought to hire him right now is Oliver Luck, the XFL commissioner, former AD at West Virginia and former number two guy at the NCAA, as a matter of fact. He's got a foot in college athletics. Obviously his son, we know, played college athletics at a high level. And he's got a lot of really good ideas, and he's well-respected. I think Oliver Luck could pull it off if they decided to do something like that, but they never will.
But I'm not talking about a czar. I'm not talking about the guy with the heaviest hammer. Yeah. I'm talking about a guy who we will go before to have these discussions as an individual conference, as a collective when it comes to maybe bargaining for TV money. I don't mean the guy who hits one man, one vote, but somebody who at least seems common sense enough to sit at the top of the pyramid when these discussions are taking place.
Well, if they're going to negotiate for a single entity TV money, you're talking about the NFL, and all these conferences would have to cede their rights to a single person. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that's going to happen unless, Apple comes in someday and decides that we want to go full hog into streaming and we want to buy the whole thing. And we're going to negotiate with all you and show all our games on some sort of Apple platform on every phone. And that's pie in the sky years from happening. But that's how it would happen. I think there'd have to be a single overarching sponsorship. Toyota brings you college football, something like that. But right now, they're too, I don't know, whatever it is, disparate, fractured, to have any one person negotiate all their rights. That's why the Big Ten is getting $55 million a year and the Sun Belt, not so much. Because that's what they're worth, and they go to the altar, they go to these negotiations and do it for themselves.
Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com with us. Dennis, before we let you go, I'm sure you've been asked this a million times. Your gut instinct, based on the people you've talked with, what do you think is going to happen as far as the season starting on time?
Well, I think there's going to be some kind of football this calendar year. I don't know what it's going to look like. I think if you read between the lines, obviously the SEC is going to go and everybody else can kind of figure it out. I thought yesterday was very encouraging when the governor of California, said there could be pro sports probably in June in that state. And I think what all the schools right now are modeling the medical part of it, the return to play. They got to get the safety thing right. They got to get the testing thing right. They can't afford an outbreak that would keep a team from playing in the middle of the season, because aside from not playing, that would be the worst thing that would happen. We have to shut it down, and you'd have to make those decisions. Is it a forfeit because of an act of God?
How many teams? How many teams do you need to make it I hate to use the word a real season. How many teams do you need?
Well,
how many games do you need?
I don't know the answer to that question. That's what I wrote about yesterday in that playoff story. Is it 50? Is it 70? Or I thought Lane Kiffin had the greatest answer. I quoted him. he said, look, it's just basically the SEC, Clemson, and Ohio State anyway. You know, so why not do that? And I looked it up, and there have only been 11 teams in those 24 spots in the sixth year of the playoff. 15 of the 24 have been SEC, Clemson, or Ohio State. So there you go.
So what about this then? What if you play like a 3 or 4 game warm-up against everybody so people get some checks, and then you do a single elimination playoff with everybody in the whole thing? I'm not kidding. You just bill it as a single elimination playoff of all the teams that are eligible to play, and let's go.
With everybody?
Yeah, because everybody, if it's 50 or 70 who are playing, why couldn't you just play a few games, get your feet under you, break a sweat?
You're talking about the Power Five conferences.
Yeah, and then just do a single elimination playoff and tell TV they're going to buy the rights to the whole thing.
I can't do that in the middle of a contract, but that's the Mike Leach pie in the sky thing, where he wanted everybody, all 128 teams at the time, to have a playoff. He knew that couldn't happen. So, no, by the way, ESPN is in the same financial straits as everybody else. They're not in the mood of tearing up a $7.2 billion playoff contract and paying more for starters.
Yeah, in theory, it might make sense from a business standpoint. Good luck getting the ESPN czars, to use that term, to agree.
Yeah, I just don't believe that we're in a world order where everything that's in play is really in play, because I just think that we're probably past that realistically. Because you have this piece of paper doesn't mean that that's the way the piece of paper is going to play out. I guess my only point is there's 50 teams. They're going to be the biggest of the big boys. Why not give them a handful of games? You play your games, and then all of a sudden, let's just throw everybody into a postseason. You get the same amount of games that matter.
That's been addressed on a different level, on a different plane, if you will. Part of the options, everything's on the table. They tell us conference games only, conference games plus one. You play an entire season, 12-game season, 13-game season with just your conference games. I think it's much, much easier to do that than have a playoff. That hasn't been considered, but these other ones have, just to get the games in and to eliminate or lessen travel, so teams don't have to get on planes.
Yeah, a lot of questions, not enough answers yet. We'll see how it plays out. Dennis Dodd, enjoy your work. Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
All right, thanks, guys.
You got it. Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com, joining us on the Truist Newsmaker line.